estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 481. I'm Adam, and morning, Angela. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of Number 4 Privet Drive were proud to say they were perfectly normal.
Oh, you took mine.
And Mary Lang.
Please, please be her.
Happy New Year.
Do you know where it came from?
No.
Mr. and Mrs. Dursley?
Of course.
Hang on, I'm having a funny message come through from Carl. He just, I just asked Carl if he'd like to come on the show, and he said, is it Sunday or today? I just put down, today is Sunday.
Really?
Anyway, right, so yes, today we're going to be talking about Revolution of the Daleks. Obviously, a lot of our usual incumbents decided to chicken out of this particular recording. Something's just fallen down. Oh, it's my power supply, which has just fallen down in front of the fire. So I just have to move that.
It fell down to the ground?
Yeah. Fell down to the ground in front of the fire so that it could well melt from the heat of the fire. And say, Terry Miles says, Happy New Year, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Well, Happy New Year to you too, Terry Miles.
Happy New Year, Terry.
Right. So apparently Kirsty's going to be joining us later, so fingers crossed for that one.
I still haven't heard from her.
Kyle says he's in the middle of cooking dinner, so have to give it a miss. Okay. So nobody wants to be on the show this week.
Oh, and it's a new episode. Yeah. Oh.
Well, in some ways it's quite a good idea, because in a year or so we'll be talking about it again, hopefully with more people on the show. But anyway, here we go then. I've lost the window. Where's the window with the... Oh, I thought I'd close it down.
Isn't it behind you?
Sitting in the background there. No, sitting behind the main window. Apparently, Lillian Robin is watching Bring Them In on camera, it says. I'm not going to embarrass Lillian by doing that. However, it would be very interesting. Right then. So, Revolution of the Daleks is 1 hour and 10 minutes, well, 11 minutes long. It starts with a long time ago, far, far away, 2019 Cheltenham. Now, I very nearly... was going to use that as my quote, but I thought it's best to use an audio quote. A lot of on-screen, not subtitles, wording, I suppose, and then a little bit of a recap to the reconnaissance Dalek from the previous, time we saw it. And... Now we see some background footage of the destroyed Dalek being sort of carted away by a lorry, and everybody's quiet. So it's the first time Kirby... Is this a New Year's resolution for you, Kirby? Not interrupting? Well,
I don't know.
No? Okay.
I guess I need to press play on the video. Okay.
I'm not bothering with that. Happy New Year, Lillian, and everybody else, like I said earlier on. I'll try to paraphrase through this bit. So we see a shot of the lorry being, carted across the neighbourhood, sorry, the motorway. Bloke sort of gets out. What?
Master.
There you go.
Yeah, I was watching with Fred the other night. She didn't even finish the story, but she was when the lorry driver stops and gets the tea. She goes, I don't like the way that lady's looking at him.
It's very observant. I didn't either. The lorry drive stops off, like you say, for a cup of tea and some rather... I saw that there was like a little bulldog on the counter with a Union Jack jumper on. I thought it was a bit stereotypical. So he gets his cup of tea, takes a sip out of it, and collapses on the ground. He fell to the ground, just like Amy. Mm-hmm. And then next thing, obviously, you see the lorry, obviously, is now in the possession of these baddies. And then you see the shot of the destroyed reconnaissance Dalek title sequence, including John Barrowman and stuff.
That is one of my favorite title sequences, though.
Is it? I was watching something the other day, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's a Doctor Who title sequence. What were we watching? So it might have
been. It was funny, though. Did you see John Barrowman's tweet or Instagram?
No.
Later that night?
No, I didn't. No.
He was sitting in front of his TV, and when his name comes up, he gives this big thumbs up.
Bonnie Francis wants to be in the video. Sadly, it's only me. And the vocal experts we have also in the background. What did I get up to? I was just about to say something. I got distracted by our viewers. Yeah, so we move into the actual episode itself. Which features the chap from the Spider story, the potential new Prime Minister, and a bit of a boffin who's wearing his stereotypical geeky boffin clothes, basically, and his yeah. brown glasses. Yeah.
We like to kill off Prime Ministers in this series, don't we?
What other Prime Minister's been killed off, then?
Did we kill her? We don't kill her, do we?
Yeah, she's that been killed.
That one gets killed off.
And also, Harriet Jones was killed, but after she was Prime Minister.
Well, I'm not talking the past. I'm talking about this episode. I don't remember her getting killed.
She did get killed, yeah. Yeah, she got done in a... She got exterminated.
Exterminated.
So, yes. Anyway, this chap... actually, I will say at the beginning, the one who was in the Spider story, I like him better in this story.
Yes, I did too.
Anyway, so he's just explaining that he shows the future Prime Minister his new little toy, which is this sort of new security robot thingy. It looks a bit like a Dalek, funny enough. We actually do look really cool, and so there's a sort of long.
I don't like the design.
Yeah, it's a very good design.
Design.
I don't like it.
Oh, you don't like the design? Oh, I do like the design. Sorry, and what I say counts.
When the regular RTD ones came back, I cheered.
Oh, well, they were going to be coming back. They were always said that. Anyway, so the future Prime Minister...
These have a more elegant design. I like these.
I think they're good. I like them. I don't think they should keep them, but I do like them in the context of this story. I think it makes sense that they've based... Because Earth has built these, so they've based them on, yeah. On a sort of... Earth design that looked like the reconnaissance Dalek, which wasn't a proper looking Dalek anyway. It was a based on design again. So I thought it was very, very good. Anyway, so the
well, they've eliminated all of the new ones anyway.
Okay. Anyway,
too bad there's again, no Doctor Who experience for them to put them on display though.
Again, you mean? Anyway, so yeah, so they've got a plan that the chap from the Spiders episode and Prime Minister obviously. In cahoots because they want to try and split this the profits or the potential profits from this scheme that they've got with these Daleks. Then we go to the Doctor in her prison cell with the lightsabers going through the window. I thought it was quite cool. They did miss a trick by not having lightsaber sound effects. I'm sure somebody at some point on YouTube will put that clip in and add the Esther. Lightsaber sound effects.
I was disappointed that they never mentioned that this was probably Shada.
They didn't mention it too. It's a shame. They should have done, shouldn't they?
Yeah, because it looks like Shada.
Bonnie says, "Happy New Year. 2021 will be a year of new beginnings and health and happiness." That's blimmin' well hope so. It isn't so far because we're isolating at the moment because Deb's been feeling rather ill for the last week and having COVID symptoms. So we've had to isolate and take tests. Sadly, when you get the option to do COVID tests at this time of year when there's lots of bank holidays and weekends, it's going to be a while before we get the results. But we've done them and sent them off and see what happens with that one. But yes, she's not
so very well. Are you been at home for the next couple of weeks?
I've been home for about 5 days so far. Deb's been off for a bit longer. Isabella's been off for nearly 2 weeks because her school shut down because of COVID at the school. Anyway, so the Doctor, meanwhile, sorry to take you Master. So abruptly back to Doctor Who.
Master, there's a reference that the Doctor's been in prison for 10 months. Or possibly longer, but I know at one point
it was 18 years.
Months. And the problem is that that's way more than 10 months worth of hash marks.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought she said 18 years.
Yeah, or 19 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Jack says it took him 19 years to get in the cell next to her.
Well, there you go then. So that
okay.
unless he knew that she was in there, going to be in there. I don't know. Either way, I got the impression she'd been in it for 19 years.
And later on, she even makes a reference to the fact that she was in there decades, plural. So.
Yeah. Well, they do give in a short period of time a good sort of feeling of her, that she's been there for a while and she's bored to tears. I do like when the exercise sort of icon comes up and she walks into the Hall of Cages and sort of says hello to a couple of well-known Doctor Who baddies.
I don't know. That bothers me because I don't know why they're in there.
Because they're naughty.
This was just fan service.
That bothered me too.
Yeah,
I didn't have a problem with that. It was a little bit of a fan service. It wasn't too gratuitous, but it was quite funny to see the weeping angel obviously tied up, and then when you looked away, it sort of did its funny face like it normally does.
Yeah, but you got to get all the angels. You can't just have one in there.
Well, that particular angel was very naughty, hence it was in prison. Or Angela,
I liked having the Pating in there, but also I disliked seeing it again.
I like the Pating, thank you. I want to get the Funko Pop of it.
Same here. Again, it just seems like just fan service and nothing.
I think it's better fans to do little subtle bits of fan service that the common casual viewer would probably blink at. I think that's right.
Subtle bits are the sorts of things that I like because I'm pedantic. But this was not subtle. This is a hammer.
It's all right. Christmas. Well, New Year. Anyway, so the next scene is Privet Drive, where they come to the house TARDIS, which I love, by the way. It's a shame that what became of it later on, even though it makes sense in the story. I said to Deb, well, I would have thought if I was a doctor, I would have said, okay, well, we'll leave my TARDIS in mothball for a while and use this nice shiny one for a bit. But obviously she didn't do that. So Yaz is gone a bit, what's the word for it? She's got a bit funny, a bit sort of mad slightly, because she's got all these post-it notes everywhere, and she's
obsessed.
Obsessed, that's the word. I was thank you, Mary. First ding of the new year, well done. She's obsessed. She's got post-it notes everywhere. She's been trying to find the doctor for 9 months, is that what she says?
Mm-hmm.
And Graham and Ryan sort of come in and very tentatively try and sort of talk around while in the woods. The Prime Minister elect, I suppose they call it, and Mr. Spiders plot still further to spread these security thingies
drones.
Around
security
Britain.
Security drones.
Yeah, security drones and around Britain and essentially, eventually, the world. And at some point, the fam. Hopefully that's last time we're using that phrase.
I am so looking forward to not saying fam anymore.
It'll always be a word to use this particular TARDIS crew. They see the sort of the initial launch of this sort of drone, and that's a Dalek. So back to the
Dalek.
Back to the fam thing, if I heard correctly, because we watch it on BBC America, which has commercials, and they were constantly flogging this one show that they want you to watch. It's going to be on in a few weeks. And in one of them, the one guy turns to this whole group of other people and says, "This is my fam." And I thought, oh my God, it is. Moved on.
Anyway, so the doctor has another little bit of exercise, and we see a couple of other, cameos from there's a silent in there, isn't there? And
Sycorax too.
Sycorax.
There's
Sycorax in there.
She's going. I think Captain Jack says something. Oh, do you recognise this face? And it's quite a nice reunion of him and the Doctor. And it does sort of get the Doctor out. What? Oh, jeez.
These cage walls look like that they're very dangerous to touch with all the blue things, and yet the Doctor goes up to it and touches it.
She's the Doctor. It's a science fiction fantasy TV show. So the Doctor, Jack gets the Doctor out there pretty quickly and uses a stashed away vortex manipulator to get her back to her own TARDIS.
Yeah, where have you been keeping that?
Meanwhile, Boffin bloke has, for some reason, decided it's a good idea to save some of the DNA from the initial reconnaissance Dalek. Even Spider-Man, according to Spider-Man, looks a bit disgusted by the mere thought of saving this DNA and tells him not to do it. So it's the most sensible thing he's done in his whole time in Doctor Who.
Really?
What? Pardon?
Just said really, yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but of course, being a boffin, a silly person, decides to completely ignore what it says, and we see behind a screen a Dalek creature, with a very big one, actually. Looks a bit like a blooming octopus. Huge one. And not long after that, the creature takes over the boffin bloke. So the Doctor and
that
Jack...
whole scene. I mean, I saw all of that coming a mile away. It's just completely unnecessary.
Oh yeah.
Patrick Bishop says Happy New Year. Well, Happy New Year to you too, Patrick.
Happy New Year, Patrick. Hmm.
Anyway, so next shot after a little bit of a scene inside the TARDIS with Jack and the Doctor, where she turns the lights on and they have a little bit of a very enthusiastic sort of gush about the TARDIS. The fam are sat round a table, just sort of mulling over what's going on with the Daleks, and then a very, very, very long sequence of the TARDIS materialising occurs inside.
Oh, yeah. You don't say that it goes on forever.
Yeah,
yes.
But I will say that the Doctor hasn't operated the TARDIS for nearly 20 years, so it's understandable, or maybe a little bit where it's been cold for so long, it took a bit of a long time to materialise.
Or it's more fan service, you know, as everybody goes, oh, yeah, yay, the TARDIS.
Does it really matter? Anyway, so the Doctor steps out and immediately sees that Yaz is a bit cross with her. meanwhile, in Japan, boffin bloke has seen his little seed turn into a whole massive warehouse full of Dalek creatures.
How did he get through security and on an airplane and everything with a creature attached to him?
The creature, as far as I can make out, is actually invisible to everybody else.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember the creature we sort of previously saw?
With Donna. Yeah.
With Donna and with the other lady in the previous Dalek story. We saw the fact that it was on the person's back, but nobody
else resolution did. Of the Daleks.
Resolution, indeed. So anyway, so the Doctor and Jack and the fam then split up to do various tasks. The Doctor and Jack, I do love that team. And Graham, I think, is it? Yeah. Go off to see Mr. Spider person. And Yaz and... Oh, is it Ryan? I don't know who's got... Anyway, they split up and... Oh, yeah, no, it's Jack and Yaz go into the factory where the Doctor, Graham, and Ryan...
I think that Jack would be a better companion than whoever it is that got coming up who I've never heard of.
Incorrect. Anyway, Jack is a companion. Can I just say, before I move on to the next bit, in regards to John Bishop, this was said about Catherine Tate, Billy Piper, Freema Agyeman, Bradley Walsh, even more so Bradley Walsh, and John Bishop is an extremely talented chap. So
I have no idea who he is. Me and
Deb jumped off the sofa and went, yay! So, yes, nothing wrong with John Bishop. He's very, very good. I might not understand what he's saying because he's got a very broad Liverpool accent, but he's very charismatic and very funny. Andy Nunny says, Happy New Year, 20 megabytes.
What a fit male in the TARDIS with two females is going to stir up.
Fit? What do you mean fit?
Yeah, it's fit to me.
He's in his 50s, for goodness sake. Bit like, he's about the same sort of age as Bradley Walsh.
Yeah, well, so is, who am I thinking? The eighth
John
doctor?
Barrowman?
Paul McGann.
Oh, okay. So you think he's on a sort of par with Paul McGann? Anyway, he's a very talented, funny bloke, John Bishop. He's very sort of dry, so I think he's going to be fab. Do you remember the character in the Shazam story? The actor they should have kept in a bit longer, the comedian in the warehouse that gets done in quite quickly. He's of that sort of ilk of comic that can do both. Anyway, but John Bishop's very successful. Look up for some of his stand-up stuff on YouTube. He's very funny. Anyway.
Well, Catherine Tate was a comic too, and she turned out to be a wonderful, serious actress.
Comics are generally really good at acting, simply because they've got to act a part while they're doing their stand-up. I'm going off on a tangent, but yes, don't worry, John Bishop will be very good. And actually, while I'm thinking of it, while I'm watching Absolutely Fabulous yesterday, it got me thinking that the 13th Doctor, a la Jodie Whittaker, is actually channeling Bubbles from Absolutely Fabulous. If you watch Bubbles from Absolutely Fabulous, they're almost exactly the same character. So keep an eye out for that one. That's Sir Jane Horrocks. So the Prime Minister does her big announcement and presents to the world her security drones, while there's a little battle in the factory where the Jack and Yaz both get grabbed from behind.
Master.
By Dalek creatures. Sorry.
One bit of fan service which was that I did like was the return of the square gun.
Yes, I liked that too, but you can't sort of like one bit of fan service and not like another. Because that was a bit more gratuitous than the subtle bits of fan service they did in the prison. But yes, I did enjoy that.
No, the prison was much more noticeable than... if you hadn't seen the square gun way back in the first series,
yes,
you wouldn't recognize it. It's just the gun.
Okay, but I think they did play on the same joke, didn't they? But anyway, so it was nice to see the square gun back. There was a nice little conversation between Ryan and the Doctor, which, haven't seen a lot of these. It's usually the Doctor and Yaz, or the Doctor and Graham that would have their little heart-to-hearts. It was the first I remember of a good heart-to-heart between the Doctor and Ryan, which I really quite enjoyed.
Why
couldn't they have had such a conversation like two seasons ago?
I don't know, but what I enjoyed most about it is that in this particular episode we see Ryan grow up. Basically, he becomes very much he's moved from being a boy to a man, and that's the I thought was portrayed really, really well.
A year too late.
Doesn't matter, he's leaving. You got what you wanted, exactly. Kirby. You got what you wanted. He's gone.
Do you get this feeling that you might know what my opinion of the story was?
Anyway, the Doctor realizes that Mr. Boffin has been taken over by the Daleks, and we'll move forward a little bit now because I'm looking at these pictures. Then very quickly, the Prime Minister is sort of exterminated, and we have the I'm going to paraphrase a bit here, because what happens is... I'm going to have to turn the fire off. It's getting warm in here now. Bear with. There you go. Turn off. Is that...
why didn't you ask Alexa?
No, will you shut up? Because it's not attached to the fire.
Before.
The switch broke. Anyway. Where did I get to? Right then, so... there's a scene in which this bloke from the spiders decides that he's going to take the side when the Daleks come, because obviously what's happened is the Doctor is forced into saving Earth from these sort of marauding new Daleks. She summons the normal Daleks who do what Daleks
do. SAS Daleks.
Yeah, who do what Daleks do and decide that these Daleks aren't pure, and there's a battle that ensues. But the bloke from the spider story decides he's going to do a little deal with
Spider-Man.
Yeah. There's a good little scene on the bridge, isn't there? The Doctor says, well, they must not know that I actually called them. And what's she going to do? Park the TARDIS on the top of the highest bridge stanchion thingamajig.
Yeah.
Completely on view. Yeah, that's not the greatest bit of hiding that she's ever done, but there you go. But anyway,
I'm guessing that's a bridge in Sheffield.
Is it a bridge too far, though? Oh, damn it. No, sorry. Is Kirstie available yet?
No. I don't know.
Maybe I should call her, and then she can join when ready. That's a good idea, isn't it? Right.
Well, she said, I said, how will we know when you will be joining us? And she said, you will feel a disturbance in the Force.
That's not a suitable answer. Doesn't she realize that we're actually doing a podcast at the moment and might be distracted by other
things?
Well,
she's been doing a podcast, her own.
Oh, okay. Well, I've just clicked on calling. She'll probably sort of snub me and hopefully join the call later on. Where did I go? It was not Doctor Who, wasn't I? Anyway, so Mr. Spry's story goes on, talks himself very cleverly out of not being exterminated by the normal Daleks and ends up going up to the spaceship.
Terry Miles has posted that was the Clifton Suspension Bridge.
Oh, it was a Clifton Suspension. Thank you, Terry.
How did they get the TARDIS up there?
I want. Well, it's wherever the Clifton Suspension Bridge. I'm sure Terry come up. We'll come up with the answer to that one. Anyway, so the chap from the Spider Story.
I assume it's in Clifton.
Bernie Clifton. No, nothing to do with Bernie Clifton. What's he doing? Right. So there's I do love the Dalek. When the Dalek spaceship arrives and all these Daleks sort of pour out of it, it's really quite a cool scene.
Oh, yeah, it's very impressive, yeah.
And the other scene where the Doctor's other plan comes to fruition, where she uses the TARDIS to sort of make all the Daleks go into it while it's hanging in space.
Yes, one of my favourite scenes.
Is really, really good. And, of course, obviously she then implodes the TARDIS or does something funny with it. It's in Bristol, so Terry says.
I just said that. Didn't you hear me?
Well, no, I'm doing a podcast at the moment, so no, I didn't hear that. And, of course, it was just sad to see that the other TARDIS die, to be fair, under that scene.
Yeah, but it would have been not just as useful for them to have a TARDIS as psychic paper.
Haven't got to that bit yet, Kirby. So then all the story is all done, and then the Doctor does a little bit of spring cleaning and then invites everybody to come with her. Yaz and Graham look quite keen to do so, but Ryan's decided he wants to stay home, and of course that really leads to Graham having to stay with him because he's his granddad.
Bye, Ryan. Bye, Graham.
Yeah, and off they go, and everybody goes, no, I wanted Yaz to go. No, Yaz is all right. And that's it. Bye-bye, Graham. Bye-bye, Yaz. And then we get cut back to their introduction, essentially, to Doctor Who, with Ryan struggling to ride this bike. And I did like the fact that right at the end, the last scene was he still fell off it anyway before the title sequence ran.
That scene was about three times longer than it needed to be.
It didn't even need to be there.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a bulling ding. Does that mean Kirsty's ready? Yeah.
Kirsty, ready? Right for me, she says.
Good time. Tell her that she should be on. I did call her. I'll try again. Here we go. What we got here? Lauren X says, sorry so late to the live feed. Dealing with emergency plumbing yet again. Hugs to all. Hugs back, but you can't do that without social distancing and stuff. Bonnie says, seeing the Dalek spider-like thing on his back reminded me of Sarah Jane and Planet of the Spiders. That's a very good. I think that was referenced by Kirby.
Ding.
And where's Kirsty? Oh, she's there! Kirsty! You got your microphone on?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's good then. That does help while doing podcasting to have microphones on. You came at the right time. Ooh, that's what she said. I'll rephrase that. You arrived at the right time. That's a posh version for the same phrase. So we've just finished the actual, amazing, isn't it, with Kirby on the show. We've actually just finished talking about the episode itself.
But hang on. You've only been going 30 minutes.
I know. Kirby's got a new resolution.
Was this a New Year's resolution that nobody told me about?
Yes, a New Year's resolution of the Daleks. No, that was last year.
And I did a great job of skimming right through it, yes.
Yeah, skimmed right through it because I was bored to tears.
Oh, shut up. Right then, so, Kirsty, was there anything you wanted to talk about before we talk about what we thought of the series?
Don't you have a quote?
Yes, oh, yeah, I got a quote. Sorry, hang on, no, hang on. Whoa there. Right, and Kirsty Bissett.
A few more tries, and we'll go and save the world.
I might have talked over the start of that. You might have to say that again. I might have talked over a part of it. And again.
A few more tries, and we'll go and save the world.
I think I didn't talk over it. Sorry. sorry, that's my dry cough. Sorry about that.
Was this bad?
No, it was fine. I don't think anybody else came up with that one, did they? No. Good. Well done.
No, we didn't.
Because I just found that kind of just a neat juxtaposition. A few more tries on the black, and it will go save the world.
Kirby did Mary's one, and that caused a terrible argument here on the 20 megabyte.
Yeah, that's because Kirby took mine.
I beg your pardon.
Kirby took my quote.
Yes. Oh, your quote. Sorry.
Right then. So, is there anything you'd like to talk about within the story? Oh dear. Bit of talking over going on there, Kirsty. Yes. Before we talk about what we thought of the story, is there anything you'd like to talk about that was within the episode?
Any pedantic things?
No, anything really. Anything that came to mind that while you were watching?
Well, yeah, the whole bit at the beginning with the wherever they were going to take to store the Dalek, and we were concentrating on that guy and his mom, the truck driver. There's an awful lot of time spent on that, and I'm kind of curious as to what that means in the future. There was something being referenced there that is either going to be played off later. I don't know, but
it's just going to disappear.
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, this isn't Stephen Moffat.
right. We were already commenting on certain things during the story that just went on way longer than they had to. So
yeah, like all the goodbyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That went on a long time. But okay, so is that it? Okay, right then. So I'll tell you what I thought about it. Okay, it was okay, little New Year romp. I quite enjoyed quite a lot of it, little aspects of it. Like I say, nowadays in TV in general, some scenes can be a bit drawn out unnecessarily, maybe, I don't know. But it seems to be the way TV is done these days. You know, having watched things like Star Trek Discovery and Stranger Things and Umbrella Academy, get these slightly occasionally, they just bring the pace down a bit by having a quiet scene or lengthening out a materialization for suspension bridges reasons. Sorry. But on the whole, it was quite good fun. I must admit, I didn't find it embarrassing. I think Deb quite enjoyed it as a casual viewer. She stayed awake, which is quite a thing at the moment. She seems to be falling asleep an awful lot. We watched several films over the last few days while isolating, and she's not managed to stay awake through any of them. But in Doctor Who, she did stay awake, and she didn't complain. And she did cheer when John Bishop was announced at the end of the episode, because we both are John Bishop fans and think he's fab. So it was okay. I say there have been certainly been worse seasonal episodes of Doctor Who, and I thought the little sort of the fan service. Yeah, I was trying to think of something that wasn't rude. Was acceptable. the way it was done was acceptable, and it gave our friend of the show John Davey lots of different costumes to wear, and probably the most he's ever done in one particular episode of the show. I thought it was very pretty. I actually liked the fact they managed to turn around the spider episode man to a character I actually quite like now, and I'm pretty sure they're going to bring him back. One point I thought it was the master in disguise. I thought he'd decided he'd been regenerated into this chap, or he was another Time Lord, because he seemed to know an awful lot. But on the whole, yeah, it was okay. I didn't think it was as bad as you lot think it is. And we're going to find out, because apparently Kirby thought it was absolute pants. Laurie Nick says, I like Mr. Bishop. Yum, yum. For God's sake.
See, I told you.
Okay. Go on.
What this guy is going to do in the TARDIS with the Doctor, and yeah, it should be interesting.
You have got a dirty mind, Mary. Right then. So who were we saying? Oh, yeah, sorry. Kirby, what did you think? I dread to think.
I was bored to tears.
Oh, here we go.
I managed to somehow reach through the time-space continuum and had it about half an hour after it broadcast. And I started to watch it and just forced my way through it, because I really did not like it. It was the there were bits that were okay. I enjoyed the prison escape sequence with Jack, but the rest of the prison sequences, and like I said, they should have made a reference to Shada.
Yeah, I agree. But that's not going to make me not like the story, because they didn't mention Shada, but yeah. I mean, that would be fan service. When you complained about the fan service, I think to mention Sharda would have been major fan service.
Yes, it
no,
would.
It would have been extremely pedantic fan service, which I like. Showing the Patang and the silence and, oh, I forgot you were here. I'm just, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That was just, oh, I hated that. And like I said earlier, when they brought back the real Daleks, yes. I cheered.
Well, okay.
And I liked the whole business about luring them into the alternate TARDIS.
Yes.
And folding that up and getting rid of all the fake Daleks, which needed to be exterminated. Did not like them. I just the whole thing was just sequences were too long. As Kirstie said, the whole thing at the beginning with the lorry driver just seemed unnecessary. I mean, they could have just had it. They could have done that in about 30 seconds. Unless maybe there is something that's going to be come out of that, but I doubt it very much.
Oh dear.
Knowing Chibs.
Oh dear.
This is very, very Chibnall.
Oh, okay.
So I hated it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Very, very good, Kirby. We've got our own lorry driver on the show. It's called Lorry Nix. Anyway, moving on.
How often did... When's the last time I hated... Well, but let me tell you this. I liked it better than Orphan 55.
Whatever. I tell you, you talked about John Barrowman, and that's one thing I forgot to mention. Loved having John Barrowman back on the show. Kirsty, what did you think?
I liked it to an extent.
Yes, that's basically what I thought.
If you took out all the goodbye elements,
yes.
Yeah. I think it would be a fantastic, well-paced adventure. The goodbye elements kind of really slow things down, and I'm not saying that they're bad. It's just it's almost like they had the story already, and then the companions decided to leave. And
can
like,
I interrupt
oh,
you,
well,
please?
Let's
Kirstie.
Put in
Kirstie. You know, sorry to interrupt you, but when you talked about the goodbye elements, we've just watched Infinity War and Endgame back to back today, and have you seen how long the goodbye elements of Endgame are? In fact, they last the whole of this particular episode of Doctor Who. To be fair.
I liked that part
but
of
those
it.
Are
so did
well.
I.
Like,
I'm not I saying it's not good.
at the end of, basically at the end of it when they're back in the TARDIS, I could really stop right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the adventure's over.
Yes.
They're saying goodbye to Captain Jack, and that could be it.
Yeah.
Give
yeah.
my love to Gwen.
The Doctor, yeah. You know, that's good. That's enough.
Yeah, I agree. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, there is no additional information after that fact, apart from the fact that those two leave and Yaz stays. And it's a long, drawn-out... And it's like it's not that it's bad or bad material, because it is interesting exploring these two characters decide for themselves that it's time to go. A lot of recent companions haven't had that opportunity to say, you know... And I do like the fact that it was like 10 months and... Ryan's kind of like, you know what? No, I need to hang around here and do my own thing. And I'm like, I'm really kind of cool with that character development. But it just weighed this thing down at the end. And I could really easily just, you know, you could re-edit this and take out some of those elements. And it would be a really awesome story. And
yeah, you could cut this story down to about 30 minutes. It would be fine.
I loved these new Daleks.
I
think they are fantastic because the one thing they do, and my hats are off to the Dalek operators all throughout the history of Doctor Who, but the one thing that you really can't do with an operator in there is make it less, in order to get you more menace, the right way to go with Daleks is to make them a little slimmer so that there is...
Yeah.
And if it means making them CG, it means making them going that extra route and making them CG from now on. And because these things had, to me, true menace. I would have preferred to have seen them, the scout Daleks, the police Daleks come down and these guys just slaughter them, you know, mercilessly. But it also provided a nice little line of the Dalek basically pleading for his life. It's like, no, you can fix me, right? Fix me. It's fine. I was a Dalek. I know about the impurities and stuff, but you can fix me, right? No.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I like I said earlier that you didn't hear, you know, I like these because they're a more elegant design.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were delicious. I want one. I want
very, very much. They're very, very much better than the Teletubby Daleks, aren't they?
I'm having it patrol my house.
Well, I'm hoping that Funko are going to release one to match my little reconnaissance Dalek I have up there on the wall.
So essentially, Kirby's wrong.
That's fine. That's fine. I have no problem with that.
Right then, Laurie Nick says, I had always hoped to buy tea off a truck in the UK one day, but now not so much. Bonnie says, seeing comedians on Doctor Who is genius. James Corden and Catherine Tate proved how versatile they were in acting by playing quite different and dramatic roles on Doctor Who and pulled it off. It will be refreshing to see how John Bishop does. He will be fab.
Well, I'm not against John Bishop because I
know
nothing
about him. You just don't
know
who he is. Okay, well, look him up on YouTube. Neil James says, oh, missed you guys. Happy New Year. I watched The Web of Fear today. Would have loved a Trout and Whittaker team up. I think you all would, really. Right then, so where do we get up to? Thank you, Kirby. Sorry, Kirsty. Sorry, Kirby was the last one to speak. That's why I said Kirby. And I've got a bit rusty with this podcasting thing because I haven't done it for 2 weeks. This is the bit that everybody's been waiting for. First time in 2021. Mary, what did you think?
Well, I watched it twice. And whoa. I have to say, I liked it a little better the second time. Because the first time, I like many of us, took so many expectations and hopes to, woo, you know, this is a new episode, this is going to be fun. And I just found so many things irritating me all the way through that I came out of it thinking, oh, this is awful. So I gave it a day and I watched it then the second time. And this way, because my expectations were so much lower, I actually found things to enjoy in it. But as Kirby's always has said, this is such a Chibnall episode.
Yes.
One of the things that he's so typical of doing that just was driving me crazy was, why does he keep explaining things to us? I mean, the Doctor goes into this lengthy explanation about how evil the Daleks are. And it's like, wait a minute. I mean, even people who just watched this, maybe this last season or something, everybody knows about the Daleks. Why do we need it explained to us? And when they find that factory of the growing Dalek innards and they say, well, you know, what happened to the humans? You know, all they needed to do was that lifting of that one tube with the stuff dripping out. That's all we needed.
Yeah.
But no, we have to have it explained to us that, oh, no, this is what happened to the humans. They became liquid food. It's like, we don't need that stuff. You know, we're smart. We can put these things together. So I felt like that. Tied things down, and I agree with Kirsty. The Dorana, the scene in the very beginning, that totally useless scene at the end with Graham and Ryan. I didn't need that, and I found it tedious. And the second time I watched it, I even shut it off before that. I just, you know, this is too much, and it's boring, and this appearance of grace, because Chibnall likes these emotional things, these long drawn out emotional things, which includes the discussion that Ryan has with the Doctor, you know, the long talk between the two of them, you know, this little heart to heart. I don't need that. But what I have read, when I've read some people's reviews, what I've read in more than one place is that this is Chibnall telling all of us that all of us that are angry or don't like the timeless child thing that he's going to go forward with, it's too bad. It's happening. The Doctor has changed. And so live with it. Because that's what that discussion pretty much was about. You know, things change, you know, but we have to live with what happens. The character of Robinson, that's your spider guy. Okay, he wasn't exactly doing a charade of Trump anymore, but he still, to me, was an actor out of another kind of acting style. It's like he stepped in from a pantomime.
Yeah.
Everybody else is acting, you know, very straight, and we've got this guy who's just, you know, facially and vocally overdoing it all the time, and it just got old really quick. If he could have played it more seriously, I would have liked him better. And before I knew about John Bishop joining, I was so glad to see Ryan go, and I knew Graham was going to go, you know, but I was sorry about that because Graham was, yeah. was like the one character I came back for each yeah. week, you know, yeah. I found him the most entertaining. So knowing that he was leaving, you know, was really depressing for me because to me, Yez is like nothing. Mm. And to me, the thought of a whole new season of just Yez and the Doctor was very depressing to me. Yeah. But now that this John Bishop is going to join, I'm curious to see what that adds up to.
So
things long drawn out, emotional stuff, and I was my first impression too was they didn't use Jack enough.
He was
kind of sidelined through a lot of this.
Yeah.
But then the second watch, no, he was used because he goes to the main ship, you know, to plant the explosives, and he takes Graham and Ryan with him. So, you know, okay, so he did function, but I still want more of him.
Yes, I agree.
Like, yeah.
More Barrowman.
I'm curious as to the goodbye scene. He didn't get a goodbye scene with the Doctor.
No, he didn't, did he?
Was,
yeah.
It was,
he's planning on being with her again.
Yeah, but it was very, I don't know when this was filmed or anything, if you know, there was a hiccup, but it seemed kind of very hurriedly done, and I don't think the Doctor talking to John matches up quite well, because he says that, like, Gwen says hello, and she says, give my regards to Gwen at the end, and it just seems kind of odd that it's almost like it doesn't match. But anyway.
Well, yeah, and then there's
pedantism.
The reference to Gwen, nobody in Doctor Who, if you've never seen Torchwood, nobody in Doctor Who, except for that brief little scene in, what was it, where they return all the planets.
Yeah.
They were in two episodes on that particular
absolutely
story.
Absolutely no reference to Torchwood or anything, the cast of Torchwood.
Mm.
So there must be people out there going, who's Gwen? You know, what is this about Gwen?
That's all right. It doesn't bother
me. Yeah, and that was unusual because Chibs likes to explain things. He didn't explain that one.
Yeah, he didn't explain that one. You're absolutely right.
But were there any cliffs? Because you know Chibnall likes his cliffs, don't they? No?
He okay, writes right.
Well, Robert Vence Jr. says, hi, everybody. Happy New Year. Thank you, Robert. Same to you. Did I interrupt you when you were still in mid-flow, Mary?
No. The only thing I want to sum up with is that it's been hard all this last season.
That's what she said.
Last seasons and even this episode to come at it with the expectations that I do. And we've all been brought along by Moffat's, you know, rapid pace and everything, you know, lots of surprises and all that. So adjusting to Chibnall has not been easy, and it's not always been rewarding either.
I've given up on Chibnall. I've already voiced my opinions on how rubbish he is, but I still love Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Okay. That it?
No, right. I do too. I love it, and I always go at it with, oh, yes, you know, this is going to be good.
Mm.
So I don't like being let
As long down. As it's on the telly, I'm quite happy. But, yes, I don't like Trit Chibnall. No, I don't like him at all. But I did quite enjoy this particular story. He can't write constantly rubbish stuff. He does occasionally write some good stuff. I'm not saying this is one of his good ones, because he has written some good stuff, but this wasn't too bad. I can live with this one. Robert Vence Jr. says, Torchwood reboot may be coming. Been talked about. Well, he's certainly on Big Finish at the moment, isn't it, Torchwood? So, Kirby, did you...
I got the impression that they filmed Jack's scenes around the same time that they filmed his scene last season where he shows up.
The cameo
because
thing.
He's only going to do that to his hair once.
Yeah,
but it could be a wig, or it could be sprayed on hair color.
It looked like a really bad dye job.
Yeah,
oh,
it did not look like his natural hair color. Well, his previous natural hair color. Not his natural hair color, because that's white, and I'm loving it now. Before it was like, ah! But now I'm.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, where did I get up to? Oh yes, did Kirby put out a request for feedback?
Of course.
Right then, let's move on to that then, shall we?
Okay, let me find it here. There we go, and let me refresh the page just in case. Okay, so Robert Wins Jr. says, "Would you like some tea with a picture of one of the new Daleks?" And also, I guess that's from Debbie. It says, has a animated GIF of Chewbacca says it's a no.
Oh, for a cup of tea. That makes sense. Yep, go on.
Robert Wince Jr., my review of Revolution of the Daleks. So, what happens when you get past Dalek stories and blend them together? Add Star Wars clone black-suited Daleks, you get this story. The best part is Captain Jack breaking out the Doctor and the Clone Wars Daleks fighting the pure Daleks. Reminds me of Remembrance and Victory plus others. It's great to get New Who, but can we give the Daleks a rest? I'm tired of seeing...
Is all right, isn't it? If it's done well, and this wasn't done too badly. Carry on.
Wow, the Prime Minister didn't last long. No, we don't know who you are. Now that the Doctor is a wanted criminal, I wonder if it will tie in with the 8 remaining episodes. This was very much a two-parter picking up from last New Year's story, which, by the way, was a little better. I agree.
Yes, that's a good point.
I guess there's maybe a Torchwood reboot with Jack staying behind. There's a lot to pick apart, but all of you can do that. Just make sure you don't poison Kirby's tea. Very average story, 3 out of 5.
And he went on to say that Torchwood reboot may be coming. The prison jumpsuits were pants. Sorry, that was a furthermore comment to that.
No, I think they were jumpsuits.
Yeah, that's what they were. Yeah.
They weren't pants. They can't be pants because they're jumpsuits.
Oh, very good. Kirsty, first decent joke of the year.
Where are you seeing that? I just refreshed the page and I did not see it.
It's come up on the live feed.
Oh. Yeah.
We got some...
Okay. Do pay attention.
John Bishop's brother Patrick.
I don't have a live feed up.
John
Why
Bishop.
Should I have a live
feed? I keep on... Every time I pop in a little gag, it gets spoken over. It's just the thing that happens on this show. I'll try again. John Bishop's brother has got something to say.
Ah, Patrick Bishop. New year, new you, new who. It's hard to believe that it's been over 10 months since a new episode. Odd parallel to the pandemic. I enjoyed the episode, but I'm thinking it's mostly because I've missed the show. And yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
It's great seeing Captain Jack again. He is one of my all-time favorites. The Chris North character was ridiculous, but surprisingly enjoyable. And the Dalek plot wasn't bad, but this was really an episode about the changing relationships of the companions to the Doctor. I think Graham and Ryan's exit rang true. I liked how the last scene of the episode brought things full circle, no pun intended.
No, I hated that.
Yeah, I hated it too. I could have done without the ghost popping up.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That was a bit over the top. In the future, I hope we get some big finish with them and their psychic paper adventures. Blah, blah, blah. I like the Yaz character, and I'm looking forward to seeing her, the Doctor, and the new guy in the TARDIS, but I've been crazy about companions being in love. I've never been crazy about companions being in love with the Doctor. I hope that Yaz only reveals her true feelings during her departure from the show, however it occurs. Otherwise, it will just be a distraction to the core of the show. All in all, I'm glad Who is back.
Well, I didn't even take that into consideration. So, we're thinking that Yaz is in love with the Doctor, are we?
It's been mentioned.
Well, it's a fan rumor.
I would imagine it'd be fairly unrequited, but
it's on her face every time she looks at her.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I haven't even considered that. Well, there you go.
I mean, I had heard that on Facebook and stuff, but when I was watching it, I still think it could go either way. I think people are reading stuff in. I don't know if anybody's got
I'm just
any...
wondering whether John Bishop's been brought in as a love interest, maybe.
Yeah, but it could be, too, that she just idolizes the Doctor.
Yeah, yeah. Cause, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It rode the fence the entire way. I didn't really see, sure. You know, because Jack said, you know, he loves the Doctor. Yeah. And, you know... He's very affectionate towards the Doctor, and she pushed shoved the Doctor. A lot of people didn't like that.
Yeah, what we're going to get is John Bishop and Yaz.
Yeah, mother.
You know, when a kid doesn't come home that night, you know, the mother is first, oh, are you all right? And then as soon as he's all right, it's like, why'd you do that? I'm going to kill you. You know, it's that kind of a thing.
Well, Kirby, when you say we're going to get John Bishop, you're not implying that John Bishop's character and Yaz's character are going to get together, are you?
Yes.
Very possibly, or him and the Doctor. I mean, we've had other romances.
I don't think they do that because Yaz's character is young enough to be John Bishop's character's daughter. I don't think nowadays that that's sort of an acceptable thing on television. Just saying, in the old days it would have been.
I have no idea how old he is.
Look at the 11th Doctor, 900 plus years old, but then he had, you know. He and Clara were so in love. So.
And that apparently because he's a Time Lord or she's a Time Lord, it doesn't really matter and doesn't look the age that they are.
So it could be Jody and John or Jack, whatever his name is.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That there could be maybe that'll increase the dynamics in the title, especially if they're right about Yaz being in love with the Doctor, and there happens to be a relationship between the Doctor and John Bishop's character, because that could create an interesting atmosphere inside the TARDIS.
I'm hoping that the John Bishop character ends up being kind of like a bit of a Turlo, you know.
What, he's going to wear a school uniform?
He's a bit rogue and a bit, you know.
Yeah.
Loose cannon, kind of, you know, keeps pushing boundaries with the Doctor, and she's bound and determined to straighten him out or something, you know.
Maybe so.
But I'm like a bit like Captain Jack, but a little more serious, you know.
Yeah.
If they make the character like John Bishop, it's going to be very funny.
In that John Bishop introduction scene, the other guy was reading the horoscope. And the second time I watched, I realized that horoscope was matching everything doctory. The number 13 will be important, the color blue, things like that. But I'm thinking maybe they named the character and we keep calling him the John Bishop character.
Yeah, his name is Dan. His character's name is Dan.
Okay.
Okay. Well done, Mary.
Yes.
Neil James.
Neil James, Revolution of the Daleks. It was quite good. Didn't like the character of Robertson, two comic book. Yes, in general.
Yes.
I certainly don't buy that there's any chemistry in this love story. She wasn't very likable, and I hated her pushing the Doctor. The episode length, it was too long. Yep.
Yes.
Daleks bore me. Sorry. Liked. Seeing all the other prisoners doing time with the Doctor. Yeah. The actress playing the Prime Minister. Shame she was killed off. Bit of a waste.
Indeed.
Dalek facehuggers.
Shades of Alien.
Yes.
Oh,
except we did that with the Christmas
That was
story.
Mentioned, though, wasn't it? Alien was mentioned.
But remember when we had facehuggers?
Hang on, Kirsty is talking.
Real quick. I love the scene in the parking lot, which is, you said we'd be meeting around breakfast. I assumed it would be somewhere with breakfast. I love that line. I should use that one. Because it was just like, yeah, when you say, let's meet around breakfast. It's like, no, we're in a quarry somewhere. What? I just thought it was a really good, funny line. And, I agree. It's like, she was a really good character. And, oh, well. Dead now.
Continue,
Kirby.
Yes.
Dalek facehuggers. Captain Jack in fine form. Rose and Gwyn mentions. Ryan and Graham's exit scene. I would have much preferred the return of a Christmas Day special.
Yeah.
But I was entertained and continued to enjoy Jodie Whittaker in the role. 3 stars out of 5.
Don't you mean Bubbles?
Yeah, I have no problem with Jodie Whittaker myself.
Or so I'm going to call her Bubbles from now on. Bubbles?
Other thing I see here is Ian's script.
Yeah, I'll do, that's right, because that's all that's on there. We're going up coming on the live feed. We've got Laurie Nix says, as regards to Yaz, personally, I think they share a bunk in the TARDIS, but that's just me. And then she says, he's an Aries in regards to Dan, John Bishop. And then Tim Drury said, Oh, Tim Drury's the first one of the new year. It's got to be done. He mentions that he enjoyed it. Very action-packed and full of suspense. Well, suspension bridges or just suspense in general?
Yeah, suspension bridges.
Suspension bridges, yeah. Yes, thank you
People
very
on
much.
Wires
clips and suspension bridges.
Yeah, so well done. Right, so... we have more stuff that's come through on other means, the 20mb.feedback@gmail.com facility for doing feedback. Jeff Waddle says...
What? Well, he hasn't said anything in ages.
For the first time
Is he still alive?
Apparently so.
I mean, I'm assuming he is because he wrote this.
He was on the 1st of January. And he says, for the first time I watched an episode of Doctor Who with the subtitles on. That's what he says. I watched an episode of Doctor Who with the subtitles on. It's quite interesting because when he last provided us with audio feedback quite a long time ago, we were thinking of dubbing subtitles over his audio. Because he's got a very, very strong Scottish accent.
He had to watch it with subtitles. Hi, lad. We have the same problem with you.
Okay, stick to this, pal. He says, because the speech is hard to understand. Maybe because they play the music too blimmin' loud, like all those American things. Anything on American TV, let's play music over it. You know, documentaries, anything. It's very distracting. So I agree with that aspect of what you're saying,
Jeff.
That was
one of the things that made Fred stop watching. Because the music was so loud, and then I'd turn the volume down and then people would start talking and I'd have to turn the volume up and then the music would make things loud again. It was just distracting.
Subtitles.
Do you know, I think that when Jeff Waddle makes one of his rare appearances on the show via his feedback, we should play this bit of music. Maybe a shorter version. Because Laurie Lex says, the Jeff weighs in. Oh, my.
All right.
He continues. And that's not a Doctor Who specific thing. It's either because A, I'm old. B, my old style TV can't cope with the new way the sound is used. And the fact that, as is the law in Scotland on New Year's Day, I'm pished.
All of the above, I think, is the answer to that one.
Well, in summary, that was a thing. And what a wonderful Doctor Who thing it was. Nothing groundbreaking, just a fun, thrilling, emotional, exciting episode full of lots of... That's what he says. Just a fun, thrilling, emotional, and exciting episode full of lots of things for those not familiar with Who, and lots of in-jokes for us hooligans, he says.
I like that.
Yeah. Whether it's caused the lack of... whether it's caused the lack of Who this year or whether it's cause I'm on the Jodie bus and two fingers up at those that hate this era because the Doctor is now a woman, I bloody loved it. Wishing you all a wonderful 2021 after the shit show. I'm going to say what he says. The shit show this past year has been. Bye bye, fam. Let the fun begin. Cheers.
Nice to hear from you, Jeff.
He really was pished. I mean, that was almost gushing. He must have been well in the bag.
Yeah, really. I disagree, but hey, it's good to hear from
you. Yeah, 2020 is looking up. I mean, that's what's coming out of Jeff Waddle's keyboard at the moment.
Like, well done, BBC, for producing an episode of Doctor Who in this current climate that we have where dramatic productions are suffering drastically, whether they be filmed or whether they be in theatre. So well done, BBC, for giving us something Doctor Who wise on the new year. That's all I'm going to say on the subject. Right then, what's this lady called? Mary somebody rather than Mary. Actually, no, I'm going to send it to Kirby.
What? Yes, do.
That's if I can find him.
Do.
Oh, here he is. Right then, here something for Kirby. Is it coming through on the electrical mail thingamajig called Messenger?
Let me figure out how to make this larger. Hang
That's
on.
What she said.
Do it on Facebook.
Yeah,
That's what she said.
I had closed that window.
Let us watch.
Give me a second to...
You close the window while you're trying to see how big it is. I think that's very appropriate, Kirby. Well done.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so there you are. Okay.
You talk to it as well, do you? My goodness.
Oh, wow. This is good grief. How long is this?
What I'm going to do, I'm going to input the sound effect of a zip opening while he's saying all that stuff.
That's what she said.
First of all,
yeah.
Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
Now,
Happy New Year, Kirby. We've been here for like an hour now. Oh, you're reading. Sorry.
Now the feedback or the feed back on the whatever of the Daleks. I have no idea who the baddies are.
Revolution.
I know where I'm not going to get a mug of tea from when I'm motorbiking around the Cardiff area. Oh no, it's Jack Robertson again. He'll be up to no good then. What a surprise. A Dalek. That was a shock. I was not expecting that. I like this. What use is a Dalek with a water cannon? After a few gallons, it would have been empty.
Yeah, really.
Solar powered in this country. Try again. Either. Corrupt politicians. How far-fetched can you get? Total fiction. What a prison. All the Doctor's old enemies. Angela, Tiny, Bonnie and Clyde. Oh, and I forgot who else. And then Captain Jack. Oh, dear, the over-the-top Jack. As Yaz says, always in need of praise.
Yes.
Mind you, it was great to see him back.
It was.
There is always a Leo to wreck the best laid plans. What a prat. I recognize that corridor in Osaka. Looks like a corridor in Cardiff.
Yeah.
3D printed Daleks. Great. More merchandise for the BBC to sell.
Yep.
Just love the way Graham and Ryan watched Robertson panicking about the TARDIS interior. Jack can get Yaz and himself to Osaka quicker than the TARDIS. Yeah, I was wondering that myself. At last, that extra house on that new estate in Sheffield has gone.
Shame.
Yes. I saw.
You know what? They missed a trick, though. They should have had the grass all looking yellow when it dematerialized.
Yeah. Yaz and the Doctor roaming the universe together. Perhaps we might get some good stories this year. John Bishop, fans over the pond will not understand a word he says. With luck, he will appear for the same amount of time as the great Stephen Fry.
With luck, how dare you?
All in all, an average story. A new monster would have been better, as the Daleks are so 60s BEMs. Bug-eyed monsters.
Mm.
Come on, Shippers, how about a new enemy for the Doctor and real stories? Oh well, back to the journey. Shalka, I hear you scream. Stay safe, Linda and Terry Miles. I completely agree with
that. Well, I don't agree about the John Bishop, but I love John Bishop. Apart from, Americans seem to understand what the Beatles were saying. He comes from the same city. Just saying.
I mentioned that I don't know anything about John Bishop?
Don't you? Even though I just told you about him.
I've seen him on a couple of panel shows, but aside from that, he looks like another actor.
He does?
Yeah. He reminds me of somebody else, but somebody from, like, I don't know.
He's very funny.
70s, 80s TV.
He's very talented. But we've got this bit of audio, and if it's not loud enough, I'll have to give it a bit of enhancement to move on to the next one.
That's what she said.
Well, good afternoon, 20 megabytes, Andy Luna here. Just finished a nice cup of tea. Of course, it's January, so, yeah. Bit of comments on Revolution of Daleks. Now, firstly, 75-minute episode. I think that meant it really well, because if you think about it, that actually means we've not got a lot less action. You had the old four-parters, because obviously no intermediate closing and opening credits. So I think Chris Chibnall certainly gave us a good length. Pause there for Kirby to say that's what she said. Story itself, a couple of potholes at the beginning with the driver who, yeah, really should have been wearing a red coat all the way through with a few minutes. How do they know he would actually stop at that place to get a cup of tea? How do they know there'd be nobody else there?
Good point.
Do they know he wouldn't drink it while I was on the road? Because he was already doing that and then pile the van up. So, yeah. But I think it's interesting the fact that the technology minister obviously saw a chance to boost their own agenda and did so quite well and became the Prime Minister. Yes, fairly obviously model on Theresa May. I won't talk about making little comments there, but strong and stable government, definite echoes of that there as well. But hey, that's script writing these days for you. I thought Chris Noth did come across well. He's certainly relaunching himself, and I don't think we've seen the back of him yet. I'll talk a bit more about him in the end as well. But I think it's a good story. I mean, Leo, again, someone else who should have been wearing a red coat. He was obviously set as a fall guy. I actually liked the new design of Daleks. I mean, why shouldn't Daleks evolve? You think what's happened to Cybermen, the way they have changed and grown and developed from time to time. Why should the Daleks not do it? If you look at the new design, well, sort of new design that he came up with, actually does make a lot more sense, a lot more streamlined, probably a lot more economical, if that's the right word. Yeah. But, yeah. Pity, I think it could have worked. Story itself, I think, did work quite well. Jack getting busting the Doctor out, I think, is quite fun, seeing all the other aliens in the prison with her. and the Hello Camera 37, Hello Camera 30. Yeah, that's probably blown two quiz questions already. And getting out with somebody says hamster ball or zork ball or something like that. But I think it's well. I mean, Jack's certainly good. Great line. You've had work done. You can talk. Although there really were some very, very good one-liners in there for the fans to appreciate that, you know, if you didn't pick them up, it didn't make any difference. Then moving on with the Osaka thing and Chris Noth, yeah, working in procurement and contract management myself. I know it's pretty easy to get things bought if you know how to break the system. And, yeah, he didn't quite get it that this has happened. And, you know, the PR disaster of this new thing, you know, he just can't in anything one way, but I suppose he's meant to be that way, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he definitely is Donald Trump, isn't he? But then Joe Biden's supposed to be not much better. Thank God we don't live in America. apologies to my American colleagues there as well before I draw their wrath. Coming to the end, I like the way they did use the spare TARDIS. Now, I think that was a good use of it. But, you know, really all those Daleks getting in, how many Daleks were there? And were they all going to come in? I think that's perhaps a slight weakness. Now, we've obviously killed them all off, the new Daleks. And now we've killed off all the SAS. I wonder if they really wanted to say SS but didn't dare, because that perhaps would have been more appropriate. But, yeah, I guess they're probably, they obviously are politically not incorrect. You couldn't say that. So SAS, but more ruthless. Well, that's right. Perhaps Mossad would be better, if people understand that reference. But no, I think that did work. And I think it's interesting that this shows there are still Daleks out there. Are there any more of the new variant Daleks? Did they get them all? Interesting. I would like to see them coming back. And then we come to the end, and Graham, and I've gone completely blank on the boy's name. I can't believe it. Yeah, they've gone off and they've been given the psychic paper, and Jack's still on Earth and Gwen's still around. So are they setting up for a relaunch of Torchwood? I thought the engine wasn't too schmaltzy. I think it was somebody moving, not because they've just had enough. I mean, I did think at first it was going to be Tegan-like and they were going to go on that basis, but it wasn't. So it wasn't schmaltzy. And as them going to do their own thing, there are obviously some people are seeing overtones in the way the Doctor reacts to the Yaz. Well, that's the slash writers for you. I hope it doesn't come to that, because the story doesn't need it. Doctor Who doesn't need something like that. You know, I think it's... The Doctor is an asexual character, if you understand what I mean there. What I really liked, though, at the end was it really had come full circle, appropriate for a cycle. There he is on the bike again. I still can't remember his name. I can't
Ryan.
It. But Ryan! Of course, it's Ryan! Oh, my God, I've never seen the moments here.
Jeez.
But getting on the bike, and how many people thought, yeah, he's going to do it. No, he falls over and he busts. Everyone, you know, I burst out laughing. I thought that really was so appropriate. But the way he wasn't going to let him beat it this time. And, of course, we had the final announcement with who the new companion is going to be. And I can see it's already happening. People are starting to bash the bishop. Be seeing you.
Very good. Yes. That's what she said. Thank you, Andy. Andy Nutt, everybody.
Yeah, and I understood it mostly.
You're in trouble with that?
Lauren X says, yes, we understand Scouse. And then he's funny, AF. What does AF mean? What's that short for?
As
F.
He's funny as fudge.
Oh, add something rather, beginning with F. Yeah,
but not fudge.
He is funny, yes. Right, so we also have this.
That was a classic.
Happy New Year, Megabyteers.
Happy New Year, Ian.
Happy New Year, Ian.
Well, that year is over.
Thank God for that.
I wonder if some future episode of Doctor Who will say it is a year to avoid.
Yes.
Revolution of the Daleks by Chris Chibnall.
Boo.
Jack is back. Perhaps there was a deleted scene where the regular roadside refreshment owner is kidnapped and replaced so that woman could steal the Dalek remains. The roadside refreshment site is called ETT's. I missed that on first viewing. Why did Jack Robertson say take the car when he had armed security? Will the big guy run in 2024? If Leo had incinerated the container and creature without opening it, there would have been a much shorter story.
Yes.
We have had River Song breaking out of a maximum security prison. We have had a Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, served by Daleks. We had a businessman building Cyberman. Once or twice we had rival Dalek factions.
Yep.
So some inspiration for this story. Enjoyable, with a good cast. If a TARDIS is sentient, would the Doctor destroy one to get rid of a Dalek invasion force?
Obviously.
A new variant of the Recon Dalek. Keep an eye on iwheroes.co.uk and whowon.co.uk.
Yes, indeed. Said whowon.co.uk?
We have had companions leaving for odd reasons, but learning to ride a bike? Ah, well. At least the Prime Minister was killed.
Ooh.
Bye for now.
Yeah. He did mention about the bit where he has a chance to burn the Dalek creature. And me and Deb said at the same time, why didn't you just chuck the whole box in instead of just opening the lid?
Yeah, I thought too. Yeah.
It's a very, very good point.
The slot was big enough. It's not like he had to stuff the creature in a hole.
No.
It's a science fiction fantasy TV program.
I know it is. And that's a valid thing to say. But it's still dumb. It's a big flap that's the same size as the container. All he needed to do was put it on there and close it.
Maybe he was trying to salvage the container for another.
He could have requisitioned another one.
Yeah. Anyway,
tell you what, people. In the next week, I will try watching the story again and see if my opinion changes.
Well, it's a bit late if you do that, but you're perfectly welcome to do so. Right then, Mary has some special text for us for the first time in 2021. Alan, to you.
Okay, this is titled The Return to Shada, or The Government Spinning of the Daleks. Dear 20 Megabiters, Revolution of the Daleks is, of course, a closely studied metaphor for a viral outbreak. Dangerous commercial activity and foolish government facilitates the initial danger of Daleks within the community, which they claim to have under control. A second wave of Daleks happens, and they are a variant form which outmaneuvers both the original form of Dalek and the control by government. A double solution is required to stop them spreading by destroying in their spacecraft with socially distanced bombs, as well as dealing with the Daleks that are out there by containing them and crushing them with a TARDIS lure and effective vaccine. It should be noted that whilst some doubt the idea of casting someone in Doctor Who with a significant comedic background, they must be out of their minds. Bill Hartnell, John Pertwee, Catherine Tate, Peter Capaldi, Bradley Walsh were all such a disaster, weren't they?
Yep.
Now, John Bishop is a popular and capable performer and actor who famously worked well with McCoy-era director Chris Clough in Skins. We also learned that the physician who, a long time ago, treated Chewbacca the Wookiee made her way from a galaxy far, far away to become Prime Minister on the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland before quickly meeting a sticky end as a singed, gooey mess on the front step of 10 Downing Street. All in all, Revolution of the Daleks was a well-structured and coherent story, providing an action-packed bridge to the next series and a festive jack-in-the-box for longer-term adherence to the show. The companions' taste of what they miss, not having the Doctor around, leads to different conclusions for each of them. The Doctor's imprisonment didn't drag down the story by keeping the Doctor out of the center of it for too long, but we have to assume there's going to be more to come about that abduction ongoing than we have seen so far. The overconvenient Dalek nullifies Dalek story conclusion lead on more interestingly to both a direct but stealthy action ending and a trek the Daleks ending, which tidied the whole thing up well and disposed of the excess TARDIS. The Dalek menace was well illustrated by their callous killing of the remnant of the reconnaissance Dalek for the sake of purity, despite its Herculean effort and success in doing the Dalek thing and surviving. They credibly addressed the Doctor's currently disturbed state of mind without letting it interfere with a story not about that. Captain Jack was not allowed to overwhelm the story, nor did they fall into traps like him making more of a production out of the change in the Doctor than he would usually. the Jack Robertson corporate personification was better employed than before, and his interaction with the technologist and the prime minister made him less cartoonish and more dangerous. The goodbye worked well and was of a similar nature and sentiment to Victoria's leaving in 1968, with perhaps a little more gumption apparent, which she was not allowed to show, but may also have in fact did have. Showing grace unlooked for at the end may well be a significantly heavy-handed illustration of the doctor's eucatastrophic nature and effect on forging a solid relationship between Ryan and Graham, which was clearly what their story together was always about.
Yes.
Story is perhaps 8 episodes too short because I want the new series now.
Yes.
Next up, Doctor Who and false restart of the Shalka or with Nail succeeds I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Yes, those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher. I forgot to scroll up.
Yes, you did. That's the copyright part of the whole proceeding.
Yes, here. It is.
Almost perfect, Mary. Yeah. Almost. And then you botched it at the end. She fumbles it at the finish line.
Yeah. I blew it.
Well, she'd need to take breath. I should have perhaps waited. Robert Vince says, I wanted to thank everyone for a great podcast. I enjoy listening to it every week. You all had fun 2 weeks ago. It's something I look forward to. You can get some ointment for that, Robert, to be fair. Yes. We don't supply it, but it is available somewhere. Right. I don't think there's anything else come through on the... Unless Kirby knows of something else. He usually does.
No, he doesn't. Let me see. Hang on.
Let me see.
Nope. Nothing.
Okay. Well, it's got to the stage in regards to our sponsors that I need to send them an invoice because I let them off last year. So, Lavazzi, I'm just going to see what... most of this time of year, people have sales on. So I'm just going to see, after clicking the accept... cookies button here.
I wish it would get cold enough that I can wear my scarf out.
It's certainly scarf weather here in the United Kingdom at the moment, but they still have Fourth Doctor shorter scarves, the 13th Doctor t-shirts, TARDIS laptop bags, and a sort of like a bag with customizable pins and stuff like that on it. Longer Fourth Doctor scarves, TARDIS scarves, the Series 18 Burgundy scarf, the Fifth Doctor cricket jumper, beanie hats, Seventh Doctor question mark sweaters, and all sorts of gubbins are still available at Lavazzi. I just wanted to check that because I was sort of championing the potential cosplay stuff, like the Seventh Doctor hanky and the standard tie that has got the same design as the Fourth Doctor's scarf. The Pandorica open scarf, the TARDIS scarf, you can get phone cases, and you can get a 2021 slim pocket diary. But one of the best things about Lavazzi, of course, apart from their Star Trek merchandise, is their blog page and Doctor Who fan section. Very, very worth signing up for, and their newsletters and stuff like that. So especially their newsletters, because they're always publishing offer codes for things. So yes, join lavazzi.co.uk, and if you want their blog page, it's blog.lavazzi.co.uk. Who won? I'm fascinated to see if Who Won have any special.
Is that Who Won .co.uk?
There's stuff coming soon. Colony of Fear is a big Finnish production featuring friend of the show, Colin Baker.
Yay.
And Grey Man of the Mountain, featuring friend of the show, Sylvester McCoy. Masterful. Oh, that's quite interesting. Talk about Masterful. I mean, obviously, it's a bit of a preview for next week's Shalka story. It's lovely hearing the Master's voice as played by Derek Jacobi. And I'm really looking forward to the American's mispronunciation of his name on the next episode. Yeah, so that looks good, doesn't it, Mary? Masterful. It's got several Masters in it. Well, specifically
I can't
the
wait
Sim
to hear
Master,
it.
The Missy Master, the Jacobi Master. I can't see the picture's so small, but that does look a little
you
bit
mean
like...
Jacobi?
What?
You mean Jacobi?
Shut up. It does look
that deliberately.
Yeah, I know you did. it does look suspiciously like the brother of Julia thingamajig in that picture, but I can't get it to become larger. That's what she said. Yeah, so that looks really cool. I might have to get that one. 3 discs and a Masterful CD. The Paternoster Gang Heritage 4, Plight of the Pimpernel, which is a Fourth Doctor story.
I'm listening to that one now. That's a lot of fun.
And Reese and Yanto's Excellent Barbecue, featuring two people who were supposed to be at FantasyCon last year, but obviously couldn't come because we couldn't do the event. So that's quite interesting stuff. So yes, whowon.co.uk for lots of Doctor Who stuff.
So whowon.co.uk?
Adventures in Lockdown. Ooh. And Doctor Who Special 56 2021 Yearbook. The last thing I need to mention is iwheroes.co.uk. I've always already advised people to join their Facebook page, where it's almost probably one of the more certainly more entertaining than our live feed. It is when Rob opens up their delivery boxes and we see what goodies we can't afford. yeah. I must admit, last time I went in there, I got something I couldn't afford because I couldn't resist it. But Alan T. Butcher says, masterful is excellent. So there's a good thing you can get from
whowon.co.uk.
Recommended by Alan T. Butcher. I'm going to show it to the viewers. It's a Grogu with egg canister, or as it says on the box, the child with egg canister. It's so cool and cute. And I don't know if anyone saw the video I posted on TikTok of Deb opening up her surprise little... figure of the child, and she says, what's it called again? Isabella says, Grogu. She went, Goo Goo! And of course, everybody's already seen this. I posted a picture of on the 20 megabyte page, the Mandalorian with child. No, he's not pregnant, he's just holding.
I was about to say.
What is known as Baby Yoda, which I shouldn't be. I'm pedantic like you, Kirby. I can't stand it when people call him Baby Yoda.
I just love it when he calls him when he calls him by his name, and he goes,
"Yeah."
So it sounds like that's, yeah. And then the last when he burps.
And apparently Kirsty Bissett is watching me just so she can see my my bits that I got for. All right, let's see what's coming.
You have a wonderful set of things.
Do indeed. Thank you very much. I'm quite aware of that. Right, that's what's going up. Coming up on. Oh, I can't find the new stuff coming up. Anything new? I know the thing is they get their deliveries in and they literally just list them there and then as soon as they come in. So it's a very interactive facility. So go to the Heroes page on Facebook. I think it's got a more specific name than that, so I better look it up. Where's the search button here on Facebook? On Heroes. Oh yeah, Heroes Pop Vinyl Collectors. Search that on Facebook and you should come up. The first one at the top of the list is Hero Pop Vinyl Collectors, and underneath that is Heroes Game Comics Gaming and Collectibles as well. So well worth keeping a tabs on that. And at some stage, if you're outside the UK, at some stage soon, then you actually might be able to buy stuff from their website. Terry Marcel's Adventures in Lockdown is a great book as well. So I'll read that properly. Adventures in Lockdown is a great book as well. So that's a couple of good recommendations from stuff available at whowon.co.uk. Last thing I need to do on the show is Doctor Who news, and then talk about what I've been watching over the last few weeks. Helps if I type the words in, right? Doctor Who.
Doctor.
News.net. Here we go. Let's see what's happened. Oh, they talked about Masterful. That's the first thing that comes up on their feed. That was posted on Saturday the 2nd. Jeffrey Beavers, Mark Gatiss, Michelle Gomez, Derek Jacobi, or Sir Derek Jacobi, Alex McQueen, Milo Parker, Eric Roberts. That's the name I couldn't think of. And, of course, John Sim. It does look fab. I'm very tempted, you know. I wonder if I bought it through my... through my Nationwide account, she wouldn't notice. I'm quite tempted. Yes, that's... I'm very tempted, actually. Especially when I'm in lockdown. Not in lockdown, in isolation at the moment. We've been spending the whole day watching films and I'm running out of stuff to watch. 50 years of The Master. Apparently 50 years ago today, as in the 2nd of January, The Master appeared in Terror of the Autons for the first time. Overnight viewing figures for Revolution of the Daleks, 4.6 million viewers, which isn't too bad in this day and age when people have got Netflix and Prime and Disney Plus and stuff like that. So it's quite a good amount, to be fair. And of course,
it doesn't matter how many things you subscribe to. The next thing you really want to watch is always on one that you requires another subscription.
And the next thing after that is the little new companion for Series 13, a la Mr. Hottie himself, apparently, and that's not my opinion, John Bishop. Mark Eden has passed away, and I was unaware of this, who played, of course, Marco.
Marco Polo.
Thank you. In the story they must recreate via some method.
Yes, they must. I guess I didn't realize that he was still alive. Sorry.
That's not very good, is it? That's one of when we did the reconstructions many years ago now. That was one I really, really enjoyed. So I'd love to see that again in a better reconstructed way. A New Year special to be offered in 4K. I didn't get to see it in 4K. Where? How? Where? I want to see it in 4K. That'll give me an excuse to watch it again. Oh, I can't. It's too much blurb there. Why can't they just say you can watch it in 4K in this way? Unless you can buy it on iTunes that way. I must.
Yeah, if you do that, I'd buy that in 4K because I just love looking at them Daleks. Yeah, don't you enjoy those Daleks, yeah. Kirby?
Sure.
And if you follow friend of the show,
whatever
John,
you say,
be quiet.
Ooh.
If you follow friend of the show, John Davey, he did post some really, really good behind the scenes pictures featuring himself in.
I missed that. I need to find that.
Do you? Well, it's on John Davey's page. And of course, what I didn't mention is there's an in memoriam that Toby Haydock very lovingly puts together.
Good. I'm glad you
has been posted. Yes, I haven't actually watched it yet, but it's worth watching. It's very moving, actually, his in memoriams. And there was a predict the ratings competition, which I didn't see until now because we didn't do a show last week. Philip Martin has passed away at the age of 82. And Alistair Pearson had an auction for a bit of artwork. I think that he had it was offered up at our convention last year, and maybe they didn't get enough money. I don't know. Either way, they did get some money. It didn't go. So the picture is now up for auction. Pretty sure Colin signed it at our event. Colin Baker's charity, St. Tiggy Winkles, is his general cause that he likes to contribute money towards. What else we got here? I'm not sure if we did. Jeremy Bullock's passing. We did last week. Last time. Not last week. Sorry, didn't we? He was the original Boba Fett, wasn't he? Because they got a new Boba Fett in The Mandalorian now.
Everyone seemed to remember him as that instead of his famous turn in the first Sarah Jane story.
The first Sontaran and Sarah Jane story, which he was very good in.
I don't know why. I mean, he's he's in a mask and the other thing.
Mm.
I don't know why anybody recalls him from that. I mean, not even seen.
When you say the mask, you mean the one with Jim Carrey in it?
I see what you did there.
Alan T. Butcher says, Masterful is a closely studied 360-degree exploration of the Master's characters by the juxtaposition of pairs of incarnations and other mass encounters. I think I did rather well with that. Yes, that's Doctor Who news. I didn't get any Doctor Who stuff for Crimbo, I'm afraid, so there's no point. Did anybody get any Doctor Who stuff for Christmas?
No.
Yes.
Who did? What did you get, Kirsty?
I got a 13th Doctor with a bum bag. Bum bag? Yeah, right? Fanny pack?
Yes.
Bum bag?
Bum bag is better than fanny pack.
I know.
Mary!
Fanny Farmer was the worst thing when I got to Minnesota. It's a chocolate place.
Oh.
Called Fanny Farmer. I'm like, that's ridiculous.
So you seem to be slipping away on a tangent a little bit there, but yes.
Yes, anyway, 30 Doctor with that bum bag and sonic screwdriver.
Ooh.
That was very, very nice. It was something it was a neat gift because it wasn't something I'd asked for, but now that I have it, I'm like, yes, I want that. and I got Madame Vastra ornament for the tree.
Lovely.
And there was another thing, and I can't remember. But yeah. So yeah, I got some Doctor Who stuff, so it's cool.
Alan T. Butcher got Masterful for Christmas. No wonder he's able to give it a good recommendation. Kirby, what did you get? Did you get anything good Doctor Who related?
Nope.
No, okay. Mary, what did you get? Did you get anything nice?
Well, I got I got a renewal of my subscription to BritBox, so ooh, I can watch all the Doctor Who on there. That's good. That's about it.
Do you know what I've been watching? I dug out of my cupboard, because obviously nowadays all this video stuff is all not online, but I dug out of my cupboard where I'm already sort of isolating and stuff. What can I watch? I got this fantastic set of DVDs, which I forgot I had, called The Beatles Anthology. Thoroughly enjoying that. Very, very in-depth documentary series. It's wonderful. And yes, on the TV with its super-duper sound, it sounds absolutely fantastic. You sit there watching it and then singing along to the songs, so they tend to play the whole of a performance by the Beatles. Absolutely enjoying that thoroughly. And I've got a few things put by to watch. And like I said, I've got the Schalke DVD, which someone recommended the extras for, which I haven't watched yet, and I really do need to. And Hover, as we're doing Schalke next week, that's Scream of the Schalke, everybody.
The funny thing about BritBox, now that I have it, is Fred keeps watching Fawlty Towers over and over.
Good.
And over, even though we have had the DVDs for years and years and years,
yes,
she turns it on BritBox and she just keeps watching them over and over and over.
Well, it's easier than digging out DVDs and loading them.
True. Well, do you know, it's funny you should mention that. I mean, where we've been stuck with it, when Isabella's decided to go to bed and we've been stuck on the sofa together, socially distancing, because Deb's the one with symptoms, we've ended up watching a couple of revamped Carry On films that have been converted to HD. We watched the ones that I like watching, Carry On Camping. What was the other one we watched? Oh, was another one. Oh, we watched Carry On at Your Convenience. I'm sure there was another one. Anyway, Carry On Camping is such a fab. Oh, yeah, it was the one. Yeah, Carry On Camping. That's good. So I would recommend that. I'm not a great fan of
some Carry On films on BritBox.
That's where I watched on BritBox, you silly man.
Well, your BritBox isn't necessarily our BritBox.
You just told me that Carry On films are on BritBox.
I'm about to look.
There are some classic films on there.
I just keyed in Carry On in the search. Nope.
Right, okay, never mind. Anyway,
I've been watching the Dickens. They've got loaded a lot of the Dickens stuff on there. So
the Dickens, you say?
The Dickens, yes.
Yeah, I know Bernard and the Genie.
Yeah, there's no Carry On at all on BritBox.
Bernard and the Genie's on there. That was worth watching. Yeah, there's a load of stuff I'd like them to put on there, but I can't think of what it was at the top of my head.
Let me go to Best Watch and see if there's any carry-ons there that I can watch.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's about what we watch over Crimbo. Nothing springs to mind. There's lots of new stuff, like The Masked Singer, which is very, very good. We again think John Barrowman might be on. What else has we watched? Nothing that I can. Nothing
okay, there's
springs
a
to mind.
Few carry-ons available on Prime Video.
Splendid. Of course, Star Trek Discovery is coming to the end. I need to watch the most recent episode. So don't.
I'll watch that sometime.
Must watch that one. Very good series, to be said. Other than that, I can't.
Oh,
really,
there's a lot of carry-on films on Prime.
Good.
You brought it up.
I know, I'm just thinking there's some stuff
on
Netflix.
Yeah, but we've moved on.
The stuff on Netflix.
How often do I move on?
But now this section of the show is starting to lead to me wanting to get a bath and settle down and watch Star Trek Discovery with a glass of sherry.
If I might make a suggestion for something to watch that I stumbled across on Disney+, but it's probably available other places, Eddie the Eagle.
Oh, that's good, I've seen that.
It's a fantastic movie because not only is it based on a true story, it's set in the 80s, and it's done like a movie from the 80s. The music in the background is this kind of, because it's this triumph story and everything, and it does exactly what those movies back then did, you know. Like, what was it? It was the one with Corey Feldman or Corey Haim, and it Rudy, I don't know, but you know, those at the end, everybody wins and, you know, hoisted up on shot. It was, it's just that kind of
everybody
movie,
lives,
but...
Rose.
Yeah, yeah. I knew he'd do that.
No, that's really
but
good.
No, it's a I watched it last night and I'm like, there was parts of it where I was actually like kind of on the edge of my seat. Watch it going, because I don't really know the story. When the movie came out, I'd heard about it and I may have kind of glanced at it, but no, and it's fantastic.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew we watched Vaughan that when we were on holiday a few years ago.
Taron Egerton and Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
Yeah, and a bunch of other, you know, famous people from both sides of the pond. And,
yeah, I mean...
Well worth a watch.
You mentioned that, and I must say that we decided to have a day of watching the Night in the Museum films, which was really quite good fun. And sad in some other ways, because obviously some of the actors have passed away since.
Alan T. Butcher says John Pertwee is in Carry On Cleo and Carry On Cowboy.
He's also in Carry On Screaming as well, I believe.
Okay, and then Hartnell is in Carry On Sergeant,
yes,
of course.
One of the first ones, yeah. I was going to say something else we watched over the... But now that's sort of deflected my attention. Oh, yeah, Passengers. I didn't watch Passengers, but I do intend to watch it again, because I really do enjoy that film, Passengers. And today, like I say, we watched the last two episodes of the Avengers saga. 6 hours it took us to get through Infinity War and Endgame, but we thoroughly enjoyed that. And like I said, did fall asleep, but she has seen the film before, so she didn't lose the plot. Anyway, so next time we're going to be reviewing The Scream of the Shower Car prior to moving into New Who. And let me remind everyone, if you want to get ahead of yourself, we're doing the two episodes per podcast. So we're going to be a bit sharper on the synopsis, because we have done all these episodes before properly.
Yes, we have.
I missed a meeting.
We've done every single Doctor Who story.
I know we have. So that's what we're doing next week.
The married ones.
We're Doctor Who fans. Of course we've done them.
But we haven't done Scream of the Shower. Pretty sure we haven't done Scream of the Shower, have we?
Everything.
We haven't done Scream of the Shower, have we?
No.
Well, there we go. That's something we haven't done. We're going to do that.
We've
done
them all, have we?
Yeah. So, and then it's Rose, and End of the World. I think it's the second story. So do those two together, and we'll tick through as we go from then on. So until
what are we going to do when we run out?
What?
What are we going to do when we run out of those?
I don't know.
I mean, that's going to be like what, a year and a half from now?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, cross that bridge when we get to it. And hopefully,
we should worry about it now.
Yeah, well, hopefully there'll be some new Doctor Who to review between now and then. Anyway, so, and then we'll have to review it again. So, I hope they don't bring out the new episodes just before we're just about to review them. That would be silly having to do them twice in very short succession.
Yeah. We could start with An Unearthly Child and do them all over again.
Guess what? No. Right then.
Well, I missed the beginning.
Yeah.
Gotta go back and do it for me.
Yeah.
No. Right. So until next time, thank you for listening, watching, and taking part in the show. And those that could be bothered to show up for the episode, ta. Bye.
Goodbye, bye, fancy bye. Pants.
Span you to your animals.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.